Episode 2, The First Years of European Energy. Shortly after the foundation of the company, new employees joined European Energy. Listen to Jens Peter Sink and Britta Svennesen talk about the first years of the company with a growing entrepreneurial spirit and the foundation of a vivid culture.
Now we are on the 12th floor, and you can look at beautiful Copenhagen from here. If the weather was slightly better, you could also see the wind turbines in Copenhagen Harbor. So, if we go this way to the coffee, it's a little detour, but...
The headquarter of European Energy is situated in a tall office building that towers over the surrounding suburban landscape. And here we meet the company's deputy CEO.
My name is Jens Peter. I've been here since 2005. I now have a title of deputy CEO. It is basically just trying to run the company together with Eric as good as we can.
On our way to the kitchen and coffee station on this floor, Jens Peter Sink is giving us a little tour.
This is where we are sitting. Eric, myself and our colleagues. And then we have financial planning. This is one of our oldest colleagues, both physical and one of the first people. He has been here 15 years now?
Mostly physical.
Almost 15 years. It's crazy. And here we have our coffee machine. And this is because we have Italian colleagues, so we had to make Italian coffee very early on. We had an Italian lady who demanded to have a real coffee machine, else she wouldn't work here. I must say, it is very, very nice with these coffees.
He remembers the reaction when the company once tried to change the brand of the coffee beans.
We need some organic coffee, we need some... So we changed the brand. The Italians just freaked out. So we had to go back to, I don't know if it's Ilia or what it is, but I think it's Italian coffee again. So that's the 12th floor.
We retire to a quiet meeting room to hear how Jens Peter remembers the early years in European Energy.
When I was very young, I was how old? 20, 21. I started as an auditor at a company called KPMG. And I had my first job assignment. And I went out to a newly founded company in Hørsholm, in the Cyan DTU a business park, and there was a newly founded company. It was called Inside Technology, and there were three people, a lady called Linette, who did the bookkeeping, a guy called Michael, and a guy called Eric or Knud Erik. So they were my very first clients that I ever went to visit, and they had just started their company.
The following 10 years, Jens Peter was the auditor for both Centic and Inside Technology. But after the two companies were sold off, Eric and Jens Peter didn't have contact for 9 months. But then, one day Eric called Jens Peter.
And he said that he was starting to do some wind turbines and something, and I didn't have a lot of knowledge about wind turbines. The only thing, I had another customer who had bought some wind turbines in Greece, and that was a big disaster, so I was a little bit skeptical.
Eric told him about European Energy and their plan to invest in German wind technology.
And I spoke German. I'm half German. My father is German. So I helped them make the first prospectus for the first projects that they had already bought and acquired. And that was quite intense. At least I remember it as being quite intense, and we were working quite intensely together. And then I just remember one evening I was home at Eric's house, and we were talking, and we were a little bit making fun about, it was Germany and I was half German and I could just as well work for them. And then, during very, very short time, like I remember it as an hour or so, we kind of agreed on, let's try this. And then next day I went to KPMG, I quit my job and I started.
It was a big change for Jens Peter to join Eric and his team. At this time, he was still young, in the middle of a promising career as an auditor, and his father did not approve.
And my father said that was totally, I could at least stay until I had my exams. I think for my life, I mean, it sounds stupid now, but at that time I felt I was getting 30, so I was kind of getting old, and I still didn't have any kids. So I thought, okay, if I'm going to take a chance, this is maybe the right time. And 1 or 2 weeks after I started, there was a fair in Germany, and Eric said, well, let's go together, and then you will see, you get a feeling about the industry. And I think we all went down, but I just remember that I was close to Eric, and we met some of the developers. And because I spoke German, I started to talk with them, and we started to engage directly. And since then, I never came back to any kind of accounting. I just started to buy projects. I thought it was interesting. This was an opportunity. And it was also fascinating to start in a very small company where everything was started from the ground up. Very short from thought to action. And then I liked Eric and Michael. And Eric and me, in the beginning, we really drove a lot around in Germany and bought projects and turbines and negotiated. So I liked him. He was human and nice and attentive at the same time as he was very focused and very goal-oriented. I think still today he has that. Of course, I don't recall exactly how well I knew him at that time, but I remember that I liked him and I thought this was interesting. So that was why it happened.
My name is Britta Svensson. I got 2 kids, live in a house in Birkerød. And I'm managing the technical asset management team here in European Energy.
After a nice lunch in the ground floor canteen, we moved to a meeting room upstairs. Britta was one of the first employees in European Energy, and here is how she remembers the first years.
In the beginning, I think like every startup, it starts more or less like a family, right? Yes, you're employed with a title, you're employed with a possible job description. Most likely we weren't at that point in time, but nonetheless we were sitting in one office, right? And we were sitting there together, and if a phone rang, everybody could pick it up, and we would help each other. And that was the world back then.
Britta recounts a funny story when Eric once asked her to break into his house.
We had one point in time where, as I recall, Eric, he was out for whatever meeting, and we needed to have some documents signed at the notary. And a few months earlier, we still had the office at Knud Erik's house. So that's where the company address was. So the paper that should go to the notary were landed in Knud Erik's mailbox, and Knud Erik wasn't at home, and his wife wasn't home. So Knud Erik asked me to break into his house to get these documents, and he told me what would be the easiest way to break in.
While entering the house, Britta hoped she wouldn't be seen by anyone.
I got the documents and tried to leave the house as nice as possible, and then we got the documents to the notary and got things signed off as they should. But that maybe really shows the spirit of European Energy. We get it done, and then we need to find out afterwards, so how can we avoid that this happens again, right? So the learnings are very important.
I mean, we have had all kind of funny incidences, and somehow I think we still have that overview on making decisions. And I think on one hand you already have this family atmosphere, very, very flat structures in the company. And I think we have engineered a process where we can take decisions relatively quickly. And that had in many, many instances been the basis for winning.
Eric, he's a engineer with a big E. What do we get out of this in the end? He's an engineer, so if you came from a big corp, you will see a big change in management style, simply because it's managed through the ideas of Eric. And for me personally, it means that it's very easy for me to read where I need to act and what do I need to do, because there's no blurriness in what he says. It's a very nice and easy way to be managed in. Everything is pretty straight. Obviously, you can be doubting on if he knows the effects of his choices, but the idea is also you can speak openly about it. And if you have any doubts, tell him and he will give you an answer right into your face, right? Which for some might be a very unpleasant thing, but nonetheless, I really like, as we say in Danish, svisken på disken. So let's get the things as they are, not too much talking around, and let's get it done. So I really like that, but that's maybe because I'm also an engineer.
From the beginning up until 2008, European Energy experienced constant expansion and growth.
We had a very good start. We went to Germany. We could grow the company quite fast in the beginning. So the year 2006, I remember already, like the year after I started, we became the biggest customer of Vestas in Germany. It was incredible.
The business was growing fast. They were working hard, and their focus on taking quick decisions was crucial.
We were super busy. We did a lot of projects. We started to expand more to other countries. We were active at that time already in Poland, in Italy, in France, Greece. We went to Bulgaria. We really were busy in 2006. In 2007, we were already 20 people or something like that. So things really looked super good. But the financial crisis came.
Now European Energy's agility and survival skills were really put to the test. After this long period of constant growth, disaster struck. Since 2007, the financial crisis had been simmering, especially in the USA, but also in Germany and Great Britain, and now it hit Denmark. And in 2008, the growth in the company stopped.
We really were under a lot of pressure, and I think had we not been in renewable energy, where the banks had no alternatives than kind of us, they would have closed us down. And we had one meeting that I remember very, very clearly.
In 2009, Erik and Jens Peter were invited to meet the new director of their bank, and they had prepared a pitch to borrow 100 million kroner. This was on top of the 300 million kroner loan they already had. But after a pleasant lunch, the director said,
"I think you should sell your assets. To be very frank, we're not super keen on lending money to renewable energy developers. And we're not interested in increasing the lines. We would actually much rather reduce the facility. So I think that you should go out and you should realize some of these assets." That was, I was a little bit a party killer at that meeting. Me and Erik, we were really, really shocked. And yeah, it was not an easy time.
In 2012, there was a shift, and during the following years, the banks were slowly loosening their purse strings. In 2014, Erik and Jens Peter were contacted by some Swedish business people from Stockholm.
And they said, "Look guys, we can give you a bond. You can lend, I think it was 45 million.
They did a three-day tour of Copenhagen, Stockholm, Oslo, Helsinki, Frankfurt, London and Luxembourg to meet investors.
And then the books opened and we got the 45 million. And it was just like, wow. All crazy. And from that point on, I wouldn't say our luck turned, but then we got that big inboost of money. And then we could really start to grow the company again. And basically since then in 2014, we have seen a quite strong growth.
The experiences during the financial crisis have helped Erik and Jens Peter to become very focused on liquidity and having financial freedom. Since the financial crisis, it has only been going upwards for European Energy.
I can say it's much nicer to run a company like that than in the other one I remember those bad days. There were quite often where I had difficulty sleeping at night because I was not sure that we would make it and how things would be. And also because we never had, both Eric and myself, partially also Michael, but especially Eric and myself, we don't have anything, at least at that time, we didn't have anything else. So this was, all our money was invested in the company, all the savings we had was invested. So we didn't have, there was no plan B. So it was, and again, we also felt that we had built up something, it would be pity to lose it. And luckily we didn't, but I don't know how close it was. I mean, you don't know, but I, at some point it felt like that it was not far away.
Today, Eric and Jens Peter often get comments about what a smoothly run company European Energy is.
But in reality, when you look inside, a lot of our time is handling problems, severe big problems. But I think one of the key success factors in our company is that we're very good at fixing these problems. We're very little pointing fingers and saying, "Oh, this is your problem." This, and I remember that also with Eric very early on, every time something bad happened, we would be there together. I never felt that he was accusing me and saying, "Hey, this is also you that." When we have a problem, people go together and it's very hands-on, and we're all focused on fixing the problem and then leaving everything else aside. And I remember everything from in Spain when we were fighting to do the last deadlines, where people flew down and even though they had a totally different job, they would take a scanner and they would scan for 3 days in a row 100,000 panels. Or I remember in England like 10 years ago, I was myself down and with mud to the knees and fixing stuff and getting people, and we are really on that. I think that spirit is also in the company, to fix things and to solve the problems together. I think that's also a very important in the way that we, that people dare to make mistakes and people dare to take risks, because we're there for each other and helping each other and fixing the problems.
It is not easy to grow 60% a year, but it's the right thing to do, because what we do is needed, both from the independent side, but also from the climate angle. And a lot of colleagues are quite happy to be in a company where we are not just talking, but we're actually also doing what is needed to facilitate that transition.
And here we end the second episode about European energy. In the next episode, we will explore the company's culture today and the challenges when going from startup to scale up.